You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Source me. The two words that J.J. Watt posted to his Twitter account alongside an image of him you see there working out in a Cardinals shirt. So now we know where J.J. Watt will be playing football. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Much more coming on J.J. Watt, including why the Cardinals may be a team to watch over the next few weeks when it comes to stockpiling some talent and maybe well-positioned during a key window here. Also, the reasons Mac Jones is sort of kind of like Tom Brady, that's coming your way, and so much more here today on NFL Live. You'll see him here in moments. We got Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky, Jeff Darlington also with us. Let's get right to the breaking news of the day, though. And for that, we bring in Adam Schefter. As J.J. Watt has chosen his team, he'll be an Arizona Cardinal. Jeffy, Watt and the Cardinals surprised some. Why did it end up making sense for both sides?
J.J. Watt. We just didn't hear as much conversation about the Cardinals. We heard about the Buffalo Bills, the Cleveland Browns, the Green Bay Packers, but the fact of the matter is the Cardinals were in there the whole time, and they offered an awful lot to J.J. Watt aside from just the money. Gets a chance to play for a contender in an interesting division out west. And how many players have we seen go out to Arizona to finish their Hall of Fame careers? Emmitt Smith did it. Edgerrin James did it. Kurt Warner did it. Alan Faneca did it, and now J.J. Watt will become the latest in a long line of players to go west during his career. Gets to play opposite Chandler Jones, gives the Cardinals a tremendous 1-2 combination on the defensive line, and this is a situation where he now gets to follow DeAndre Hopkins, who previously went from Houston to Arizona last offseason, and now J.J. Watt does it this offseason.
Yeah, if you've been to Arizona, you can vouch for the weather, quite pleasant, maybe a little bit hot sometimes, but not necessarily during football season. Thanks so much, Adam Schefter. You mentioned that combo. No two players have recorded more sacks than Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt since 2012. Now the two will be playing on the same team. The biggest question mark for Arizona's new pass rushing tandem may be health, as Jones was limited to just 5 games last season due to a biceps injury, and Watt has completed a full slate of 16 games just twice in the last 5 seasons. But that also shows just how productive they have been when healthy. So, Lewis, what was your reaction? I said some of us were a little surprised. What was your reaction to this news?
Yeah, I was surprised as well, Laura. But then when I looked at the guaranteed money, I really wasn't that surprised, because I think we all know that dollars and cents really is what speaks the loudest in the NFL. And that's not to say that J.J. doesn't want to win, and he doesn't want to chase a ring, and he doesn't want to play in a system that benefits him from a statistical standpoint. But the money is nice. Look, $23 million guaranteed, assuming that it's all fully guaranteed. That's a lot of money for someone who comes with the kind of risk that he comes with from an availability standpoint. But make no mistake about it, if he's healthy and he's on the football field, him along with Chandler Jones and along with a guy like Hassan Reddick, if they can get him re-signed, being that he's a pending UFA, and then the rookie, or rather the second-year player, as Isaiah Simmons, as he continues along here, they have a lot of movable chess pieces for defensive coordinator Vance Joseph to move around here. And if they can get some other things cleaned up on this football team, namely not shooting themselves in the foot, not being one of the most penalized football teams in the NFL, and Kyler Murray continues to develop as the leader off the field and someone who can really just galvanize everyone else around him, this is a very intriguing and interesting football team, being that they're in one of the toughest divisions in football.
Truthfully believe that they can win their division, and they weren't going to do it just sitting on their hands. You know, this is a huge signing, and it's the signing, I don't think it's the last one. I think Arizona's looking at this as a 2-year window and make some moves, and this is the first of many moves to come for them, because we have to remember that they have that financial flexibility with Kyler being young and on that rookie deal. And so J.J. Watt is still a capable player. He may not be NFL defensive player of the year caliber, but he's still a guy that had 14 tackles for loss last year. That's going to help a defensive line. 7 batted balls, 2 forced fumbles. And you heard Shefty and Lewis mention Chandler Jones. Well, just think of what they can do, not only when those guys are now opposite each other, but putting those guys on the same side. You're going to now create a lot of issues for teams like the Rams and the 49ers and the Seahawks to go, how are we going to block these guys? What's our game plan? Who can block maybe one of these guys one-on-one? Do we have to go and center offensive line all that way? So I like them being aggressive. I like the fact that Arizona's realizing we got a young quarterback who's cheap, and this is our opportunity to go make a run at a couple division titles. And they weren't going to do it just sitting back. And so now you go get J.J. Watt, and I promise you other free agents are watching there going, okay, we've seen the past couple years some teams have made some free agent moves, and it's worked. Maybe I'll follow.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, about all this is the Vance Joseph piece in it. And since he's taken over for defensive coordinator in 2019, the Cardinals ranking third in the league in blitz percentage behind only the Bucs. You know that Vance Joseph is really thrilled right. about this new duo. But how much does that affect J.J. Watt, just with the familiarity there? Dan.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal because you know what he can and cannot do. You talked about the pressure rate. They were also top five in sacks last year. So there's that comfort level of, J.J., where are you? Not only this, Laura, but like they'll be able to sit down and go, what days do you need off? Do you need a Wednesday off every other week to get your body right? Hey, J.J., can you help some of our younger players develop a little bit? Can you teach them some of the moves? Remember, you used to do this stuff in this blitz package. Can we help a guy like Hassan Reddick or a guy like Zach Allen develop their games as well? So there's a lot that J.J. is going to bring to that organization, but the familiarity with Vance Joseph is a huge part of it.
Yeah, Laura, in my time in personnel, I can just tell you this. Some of the most successful veteran player acquisitions that I was ever a part of involved players who had familiarity with coaches on the staff and or key players already on the football team. Because now that player comes in, you already know what they bring to the table. There isn't this feeling out period. You probably have talked extensively before they even step foot in the building, so you can hit the ground running right away. So I think that's a huge part of it. I wouldn't doubt at all that JJ really factored this into his decision, given the fact that he played on some very good defenses when Vance was the defensive back coach in Houston in the early part of his career. These are just simple, easy type of things that you have to consider when you're trying to forecast whether or not a player is going to fan out well with a new team.
Yeah, kind of interesting too, guys. The Cardinals host the Texans in Arizona this coming season.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Let's go! Holy guacamole!
Tom Brady is balling.
Caught ball! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers! Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT.
Brady's still going, winning another Super Bowl, 7 Super Bowl titles, first quarterback in NFL history to throw a damn touchdown on water.
Yeah, but I'm feeling alive. I feel like the greatest.
So that's how it's going. This is how it started for Tom Brady. That infamous shirtless photo from the combine 21 years ago. That's wild. We may laugh about it and have our jokes, but Brady, according to his Twitter feed, he says the photo still gets me fired up. Maybe that's a little peek into his psyche. Now, one player in this year's draft has some scouts buzzing about a Brady type of QB rising on the boards, and that would be ESPN. Well, first of all, ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese recently spoke to Mel Kiper Jr. about a very interesting QB comp for Alabama quarterback Mac Jones.
And I hate to say it, Mike. I mean, he's got a little bit of Brady in him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's ever going to be Tom Brady. He won't be close, probably. But, you know, you never know. But he's got that competitiveness. He kind of does everything with a smile. And, you know, Brady didn't smile probably as much as he does. But, I mean, he's one of those guys. He's so smart. He picked that offense up in Mobile like it was nothing. And while other quarterbacks were struggling with the verbiage, you know, communicating that in the huddle, he was, boom, in and out of the huddle quicker than anybody I've ever seen.
All right, so Mel is making this very clear. He's not saying that Mac Jones is Tom Brady, but there are some similarities. And look at this. Mac Jones just set the highest single-season total QBR since the metric was first tracked in 2004, passing both Kyler Murray in 2018 and Joe Burrow in 2019. Both of those guys went number one overall in the last two drafts, making you wonder where Jones will fall in this year's draft after his stellar 2020 campaign. It seems like he continues, Mac Jones does, to rise up the draft board in multiple mock drafts. And, Lewis, the trend in recent years has, of course, been these athletic, mobile quarterbacks. But can a guy like Mac Jones still succeed in the NFL?
Absolutely, Laura. Without, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I believe that's the case. Look, when I talk to quarterback coaches and quarterback tutors who I trust implicitly when it comes to the evaluation of quarterbacks, there's three things they talk about. They talk about decision-making, accuracy, and then toughness, both physical and mental. And Mac Jones has all three of these areas just absolutely nailed. He is a supercomputer as far as being able to take information in the classroom and apply it on the football field in real time. He's the kind of guy who coaches tell me, no matter how much you give him, no matter how many answers you give him to put in his tool belt that he will need to use in the course of a football game, he can apply them in real time at the drop of a hat. And many times he's asking the kind of questions in meeting rooms that coaches believe a guy well beyond his years should be asking. Now, as far as his accuracy, I mean, it speaks for itself on the football field. And it's accuracy at all three levels of the football field. It's accuracy with a variety of different ball handling procedures that he has to undergo, whether it be in the gun, whether it be in pistol, whether it be under center, whether it be straight drop back, whether it be play action, 3, 5, 7 step drop. He's done all of that stuff. He's done it all. And then as far as the mental resiliency and the toughness, just think about this. Think about what he fought through down at Alabama. As someone told me, look, that situation was tailor-made for him to go ahead and leave Alabama, transfer somewhere else where it was much easier for him. He didn't. He succeeded. And as long as you protect him in the NFL, he will win from the pocket at the NFL level. It has to be right around him, but he will win in the NFL level.
Yeah, that's well said, Lewis. I agree. I think at the end of the day, it's always going to be better for a quarterback to have a fast mind than it is to have fast feet, as much as we love the athletic quarterbacks that are part of the NFL right now. So, yeah, you want the athletes. I get all that. I'm right there with them. But at the end of the day, can you play? Can you throw? Can you think? And can you move efficiently? And he does that. And I'd say this. You know what he looks like? He looks like a guy that's super talented and spent 2 years playing scout team quarterbacking against one of the best defenses in the country in Alabama. You know what that does? It makes you play really, really fast. His mind will make up for his physical flaws.
Yeah, Dan, that's an interesting point because Nick Saban's actually told me that he thought being a scout team quarterback, going up against their one defense, which has been really good at Alabama over these past few years and the time that Mac Jones was doing that, really helped him. He said at the end of the day, Saban's a defensive-minded coach. They want to win in those practices. Yeah. So it's not just that you're going up against the talent, you're going up against the scheme. And Saban really challenged Mac Jones through all of that to continue to progress and to be better. He may have had just the perfect schooling, if you will, to prepare him for how he needs to play at the next level.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Laura said all year long that he was expected to retire. This was expected to be his last season.
We're underway in the Big Easy.
Breeze flushes to his right, throws, and that ball's picked off at the 40.
Breeze dropping as the pass. Oh, it's intercepted. Picked off by Devin White.
Drew Breeze probably walking away from the game.
Seeing the tears in the eyes of Drew Breeze, maybe in the dome for the last time.
This season, probably had to fight through more than I've ever had to in any other season. And it was worth every moment.
You know, all signs pointing to Drew Brees retiring this offseason, except this video of Brees working out like a maniac. His trainer posted this over the weekend. Dan, I mean, my word, what's the man doing out there?
That's what it takes to be a Hall of Famer. You got to be a little bit of psychopath. This is also what I'm going to do before I go to the beach next time so I don't look like Tom Brady's combine picture.
Yeah, the last time you went to the beach, you definitely looked like Tom Brady's combine picture. So as we wait for the official news on Drew Brees, the attention of the city of New Orleans has turned to Russell Wilson, who listed the Saints as one of four teams where he would be okay for a trade. So the mayor of the Big Easy, LaToya Cantrell, gave her sales pitch this weekend. Listen to this.
I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans. I've heard the rumors now.
I'm not sure if I'm available or not.
Wilson has not demanded a trade.
I definitely believe they're getting calls for sure.
Mr. Wilson, you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship. We want you.
I mean, she's even got the parasol going. I love it. Hey, not to be outdone, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin responded on Twitter saying, I love you, Mayor, but keep your eyes off Russell Wilson. His home is Seattle. Go Hawks. And so, you know, Seattle is in the NBA, in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there. Uh-oh. All right. As we said, Wilson's camp has made it clear they are good with the trade to four teams, the Saints, the Bears, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. Now, which of these would make sense? Actually, Adam Schefter with a tweet this weekend showing what Russ would look like in the different jerseys, and you see him there as well. Kind of gets exciting. Let's get to some quick reads on this topic. Lewis, you like the idea of Russ to the Saints. What would you say?
Yeah, Laura, I don't know if I necessarily do like this one, only because look, the New Orleans Saints really have some interesting cap situations coming up here long term, and they need all the draft capital that they can get in years going forward after Drew Brees is no longer on this football team. And remember, it's not just about Russell's salary that they would be paying him. It's about the price they would have to pay in order to get him in terms of draft picks. I think this is a team that's going to need to have a young quarterback and then build around that quarterback, and they need the draft picks in order to do that.
All right, Dan, what about Wilson and the Bears?
Well, I love it for the Bears. I mean, this is a home run for them. We're talking about a team that is under Matt Nagy 28-20 with Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles during most of those starts. This also gives them the opportunity to get their premier quarterback and maybe keep Allen Robinson, maybe keep their prime free agent wide receiver. So for the Bears, it makes a ton of sense. For Russell, it's not a great situation when it comes to the offensive line.
What about Lewis Vegas and Russell Wilson?
You know what, Raider Nation hates me for this, but you know, I'm gonna stick by this. They don't need to get Russell Wilson. They have their franchise quarterback in Derek Carr, who by all intents and purposes, both objectively when you look at the data and you look at him on the football field, this guy is a winning quarterback. It's the defensive side of the football that really needs to be improved. I know they have invested a lot in that side of the ball, both in terms of free agents and draft selections. It's just been the wrong people because they haven't panned out. So they need to fix it if they're gonna want to go anywhere.
Okay, Dan, what about a Russ for Dak swap? Does that solve everyone's problems?
I mean, it solves the Cowboys big time. I mean, you're talking about getting a better player for cheaper. As crazy as this would have sounded a year ago, this makes a ton of sense for Dallas. This gives them a player that's as big as the star, that's as big as the Cowboys brand. It gives them a quarterback that's going to be a great player for the next 8 years. It's cheaper than the one that they're dealing with when it comes to Dak Prescott.
Yeah, this is fun, so let's carry it on. Former Cowboys wide receiver Michael Irvin weighed in on Russell Wilson, wanting in on Dallas, saying, quote, quarterbacks suddenly have the power to leave a team, but that also means they have the power to come to a team. Russell Wilson wants Dak's chair. Jeff Darlington with us today. Jeff, do the Cowboys have to be careful about how they negotiate and if they decide they want to actually make a play for Russ?
They do, Laura. Look, I don't love the way this smells or looks with Russ kind of throwing out there that he's willing to play for a team that currently has a quarterback and the potential of the Cowboys flirting back when they've got their franchise guys sitting there. That being said, it would be negligible on the part of the Cowboys to not at least look into this. Now, whether they make the call or not is where this gets dicey, where it gets sticky. Last year, for instance, the 49ers were definitely interested in Tom Brady. Whether people want to realize that or not, they absolutely were. But they handled it tactfully and strategically to the point where it did not turn off Jimmy Garoppolo and create a fractured relationship. That's where they have to be careful here. Things could get personal if, in fact, the Cowboys were to make a run at Russell Wilson. They're going to do it. They better be smart about it.
Yeah. Listen, Darlington's right. The Cowboys have to call. That this is an opportunity to go get a quarterback that's one of the best three or four in the NFL. And again, it would be cheaper than the contract that Dak Prescott is likely looking for. That being said, if I was Dak Prescott and this situation arose, I would want to know if they called. I want my reps to find out, because if they did, I'm gone. I'm done. You can kiss my time with the Cowboys goodbye. I'm not even signing the franchise tag. I am 100% gone, because at some point you're going to stop disrespecting me that I sit here 8 days from now, has a decision has to be made. And I need 100% of your effort to be towards getting me to a new deal. Not 90%, not 95%. That being said, if the Cowboys call, you better get them. You better lock them down.
You
call and it goes bad, you could lose out on Russell and Dak Prescott. So this is an incredibly delicate situation for the Cowboys.
I could not agree more. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm telling you what. I'm trying to get phone records. I'm trying to get everything. I'm trying to see if I can even read Dallas's mind. I want to know if you're even thinking about it. Because if you're thinking about it, I'm telling you, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So either way, I'm just gone. And look, and we've seen that. We've seen how people get sensitive about those kind of things, especially in Dak's situation, where he has done enough to go ahead and earn what is coming to him based off of what he's done in the past and what he could still do in the future, provided that he's going to be healthy and he can keep himself healthy going forward. So he's earned that contract, and they need to go ahead and build out the rest of this football team, because Dallas's issues are not just about quarterback play, and we know that. We know early in the part of this season, in the early part of 2020, this defense was historically gross. It just was. That's just a fact. So with Russell Wilson, although you may be getting a little bit of a bargain in terms of how much money you're paying him relative to what Dak may get on the open market right now, remember this. They still do need assets to fill a roster up and to kind of patch up some holes that right now are gaping. They're not holes. They're big fissures like in the surface of the earth bit. So they have some issues going forward. They better take care of this quarterback. And if they don't get Russell Wilson, you better not let Dak ever find out that you were trying to. Because otherwise you're going to be sitting there going,
right,
we have nobody
right
now.
Yeah, we got in. I think that's geology, the fissures of the earth there here on NFL Live. You never know what's coming your way. I have two questions. So we're going to start with Jeff on one here. You've got until March 9th to get through the franchise tag period. A franchise tag would have to be assigned, Jeff. But they could stretch this thing out again until July, right, for things to be signed. I realize nobody knows what's going on here, but what does your gut tell you? I mean, this thing stretches on, right? There's no way it's done with Dak and Dallas in the next 8 days.
Right. Well, Lewis knows because he's putting GPS trackers on people's cars to make sure that they don't do anything without him. Sounds like the guy's stalking. Right? But look, you're exactly right. And here's the deal. We didn't expect them to put the franchise tag on Dak right away. They want to have good faith negotiations, but this is exactly where we were last year. We went into this exact same period. They ended up slapping the tag on Dak on March 9th, and then they extended it to July, saying we're going to get it done by then, and they never got it done. It continues to get harder each and every day until you reach that deadline. So we'll all keep watching. We'll all keep wondering.
Yeah, and if they slap the tag on him one more time, you got to think that that's the last time that they'll be talking about any contract with Dak in Dallas. Dan, we're talking about this conversation of this trade of player for player Russell Wilson for Dak. We kind of went through how they could do it. Should they do it?
Should the Cowboys do it? Absolutely. I mean, if the Cowboys have the opportunity to go get Russell Wilson, listen, I think you talk about signing Dak with the intention to trade him. You go the 10th pick in the draft. You can go with your second rounder this year and maybe even throw in a player like Lyle Collins to help that Seattle offensive line. Should Seattle do it is another question. It comes down to what's it about for Russell Wilson. I am adamant and believe that this is bigger than football. I believe that this is a long-term play 20 years from now, that Russell Wilson wants to be the Magic Johnson of the NFL, to build that brand. If that is the case, his mind is already up. So then the answer for Seattle would be, yeah, because eventually he's going to force his way out, get as much as you can for him now.
Look, I just think that Dallas needs to be awful careful with here about trying to, you know, provide Russell Wilson the vehicle by which he can live out all of his dreams, you know, that go beyond the football field. I am big on relationships. And there are some other effects that this could have on this football team in Dallas in a negative way if they wind up having a guy who they drafted, they groomed, they developed, who suffered through some very bad seasons, suffered a horrific injury, We're going to assume that he's going to come back from it, and then he's going to be sitting there right now waiting for you to go ahead and make him the franchise quarterback in terms of a new contract, and then you just trade him out for the next guy. That could have a very, very bad impact on their team building going forward and their locker room going forward, one that you can't put a price tag on. You have to be very, very careful of that.
That's a really strong point, and especially when you think, too, about how that locker room has spoken about Dak Prescott. He is beloved there.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Breaking news today, J.J. Watt heading to Arizona. He's chosen the Cardinals as his destination after leaving the Texans. He broke the news himself on Twitter today and already receiving some reaction from his new teammates. How about his quarterback, Kyler Murray, posted this 6 years ago. That was actually senior year of high school for Kyler Murray, talking about getting J.J. Watt to Arizona. They look slightly different now than they did then. But anyway, we'll carry on here. Chandler Jones may have a new role, by the way, with J.J. Watt joining the Cardinals. Jones posting on his Instagram a DM he sent Watt back on February 16th saying, if you come here, I'll be your personal chef. Mondays and Wednesdays are free. Today he added, J.J. Watt, what did you want to eat, LOL? I wonder what Chandler Jones cooks. We might have to work on that. They'll be spending a lot of time together anyway. So that's the reaction, Jeff, of his teammates that he's joining. What's been the reaction around the NFL about J.J. Watt choosing the Cardinals?
Well, you know, it's about how it went down. And it's funny, we can joke about that tweet from Chandler Jones, but that's exactly what was so enticing to J.J. Watt, that he had this collaboration with some of these players, familiarity with Vance Joseph in terms of the defense. Something that he worked under Wade Phillips in Dallas. So all of that came into play. But we're talking about a guy who did have interest from other teams, with Cleveland and Buffalo. And by the way, another team that wasn't really getting much talk, the Tennessee Titans, also coming in with an offer for J.J. So he had a lot of options, a lot of competitive options. But ultimately, he liked the familiarity, what he had in Arizona. And he liked the fact that there was some courtship involved here. So J.J. ultimately feeling very wanted, very paid, by the way, and ultimately very satisfied.
Yeah, the money helps there in any situation. So, Dan, Watt said he wanted to go to a championship contender, right? And while the Cardinals may be on the rise, there's still a case to be made that they could be at the bottom of that division. So does Watt signing change your order of teams in the NFC West?
No, it's a really good division to be at the bottom of, though. So, you know, this is still a very, very tough division. And just because they might be at the third or fourth spot doesn't make them a poor football team. I think there's a couple questions we have to ask. First of all, who's playing quarterback for Seattle and who's going to be playing quarterback for San Francisco? We don't necessarily know those two answers definitively, okay? So let's play the assumption game that it is going to be Jimmy Garoppolo and it is going to be Russell Wilson. You better be able to get after the quarterback. You know, as your offense progresses along in Arizona, the best thing that you could do to help that offense, but also help your team win games, is to go hunt the opponent's quarterback. Matthew Stafford is a big-time player. Jimmy Garoppolo plays really well in that system in San Francisco. We all know who Russell Wilson is. So one of the ways that you can expedite the process of your football team is going to get a guy that you could put, again, opposite Chandler Jones or with Chandler Jones and going, maybe we don't have to score 35 a game to win because we'll get after so many of the quarterbacks within our division. So I said this before. I like the fact that they think, they feel they can win the division.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. And the more I think about this, I'm thinking, like, what exactly is the effect that J.J. is going to have on this football team, given what he is at this point in his career, which is still a very good pass rusher, but he's not the same dominant every down player that can affect all three downs every single play for greater than 60, 70% of the snaps. So really, where does his impact come? I think his impact is going to come as far as the professionalism that he probably is going to demand of everyone else around him. And by that, I mean this. On defense, what really haunted the Cardinals in 2020. It was about situational football. It's about two-minute football. It's about too many penalties.
Right.
Not getting off the field on third down because of penalties. Those kinds of things. You, a guy like him, you can help really reemphasize those kind of things to guys as far as their professionalism is concerned. And then on the offensive side, it's really the same type of thing. They need to take care of the football better. They need to be better at not shooting themselves in the foot by dumb penalties when they're trying to, you know, establish some momentum moving the football. I really think that's where he could have that Tom Brady-like effect on this football team as far as helping them learn what it takes to be the best they can be individually and then collectively as a football team, because that's what they're going to need in that division.
Yeah, it reminds you of that speech that he gave during the season, last season with the Texans, challenging them to play better. If you get that oftentimes from J.J. Watt, you're probably going to step it up a little more. All right, let's get to the AFC West, where Justin Herbert has a new head coach. Brandon Staley brought in after Anthony Lynn was fired. No doubt a huge emphasis will be on continuing to develop the young QB. He showed flashes of great promise last season. Despite close losses, Staley told us actually right after he was hired here on NFL Live, he's extremely excited to work with this whole team. And Justin Herbert said this to USA Today about his new head coach. He's been awesome so far. He's a defensive coach, but he also played quarterback, so he knows both sides of the ball. So whether I want to talk about him about offense or defense, he's got a great feel for the game. Let's get some quick reads on some new quarterback head coach pairings, guys, starting with the Chargers. Dan, what do you think?
Now, I love that quote from Herbert. The point of the fact that Brandon Staley has played quarterback at a somewhat high level, you can tell quarterbacks what's real and what isn't. That's a big deal. I'm a big believer in that. And then the fact that he had a top five pass defense in the NFL last year, vantage points that are different than ours help us learn better. He's going to be able to sit there and go, hey, we're going to think this way. So really hang in there a little bit more. I love the fact that he's got a different vantage point to learn from.
Dan, I'm pretty fascinated by what Arthur Smith can do with Matt Ryan. The last time we saw this creative of a mind working with Matt Ryan, by Kyle Shanahan, and we know the success that he did have on offense, put the 28-3 thing aside. This is a situation where I think Arthur's creativity will really do play dividends with Matt Ryan. Ryan Tannehill has told me how creative Arthur is, how much it will help him. And we don't think of him as being ultimately an athletic quarterback, but this is a really good match, I think, for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, with Nick Sirianni here in Philadelphia, I'll tell you what, unlike the first two who I know very well, the two guys you just talked about, I do not know Nick Sirianni very well. I don't know what this relationship is going to be like with Jalen Hurts and what ultimately it means for Jalen's development and whether or not he looks at him as being a franchise quarterback. I do know this. They have no other quarterbacks on the roster. At the sixth pick in the draft, they have to be considering another quarterback as far as bringing someone else in there, because I just don't know if you can go ahead with Jalen Hurts and have him be the guy who is just unquestionably the guy who's going to lead you forward in the future.
Yeah, and in other news, everyone at home can relate to us freezing video all the time, because that's what happens to everyone nowadays.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
New on NFL Live, J.J. Watt announcing he'll be joining the Arizona Cardinals this coming season. You see his tweet just now. Pretty convenient when the owner is also a pilot. That's owner Michael Bidwell of the Arizona Cardinals. See you soon, AZ Cardinals. So that means J.J. Watt wheels up to get to his new home. Also this, Patrick Mahomes underwent successful foot surgery on February 10th, expected to return in time for training camp in June. He had a severe case of turf toe, of course, played through that injury all the way through the playoffs, including the loss to the Bucs in the Super Bowl. Here's GM Brett Veach with more on his recovery.
Pat had his toe surgery on 2-10. It's a three-month recovery, so we're hopeful, you know, somewhere around that mandatory minicamp if we have. You know, we certainly think by training camp he'll be good to go, and we'll be smart with him.
All right, the Bears wish they had drafted Mahomes back in 2017. Instead, they head into an offseason with lots of questions around the quarterback position. So Bears GM Ryan Pace addressed the position at the end of the season, didn't seem to have a whole lot of concerns. Here he is back then talking about Foles.
You know, I respect the way, you know, he handled a lot of adversity this year, not just for himself, for that quarterback room. And, you know, he was a leader in the room, even as a starter or as a backup. And, you know, I think you go back to when he was playing Adam, and there's some things that you know, in fairness to him, the offensive line was a little unsettled, and the run game wasn't quite maybe where we wanted it to be.
So again, that was Ryan Pace from January 13th. And since Pace took over as general manager in 2015, the Bears have the fifth lowest team total QBR in the NFL, trailing only the Broncos, Jets, Jaguars, and Rams. Chicago has started eight different quarterbacks since Pace took over, none of which have posted a QBR above 55 over that span. For context, the league average of total QBR last season was 64. Of course, all this boils down to the fact that they passed over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, so it just even magnifies it. But, Dan, what should the Bears be doing right now when it comes to the quarterback position?
Get on the phone. Don't hang up. Get on the phone and do not hang up. I think that at the end of the day, both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have to ask themselves two questions, and which one do they want to answer? Where am I going to be working in 2022, or how do I build a roster without three first-round picks? I just think that's the reality, is if they don't go get a real quarterback, if they don't go get a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson, it's going to be very difficult for those guys to keep their jobs with just a bridge or a potential substandard starting quarterback in the NFL. But go get one of those guys, and you save your job. And it may cost you a lot, but you can figure it out later on. Figure it out when you have a football team that's in playoff contention because of the defense that you have. You guys who know the movie Rounders, I'm a big movie person. I love the movie Rounders. There's the final scene where Matt Damon is talking to Teddy KGB, and he's like, you know, I'm going all in. And the river card is the ace. And he's like, there's no way that ace helped you. And he's like, you're right, I didn't. I flopped the nut straight. Those first-round picks aren't going to help you guys unless you go get a quarterback and they saves you your job. So you got to get on the phone, don't hang up, go all in.
I agree. And I think that's exactly what Chicago is right now trying to figure out how to do. See, they need a partner, though. They need Houston. They need Nick Caserio to answer the phone. They need him to stop sending him right to voicemail, because that's what he's doing right now. He's sending everybody to voicemail, or he's got you on, he's got everything right now on just ignore, and everything's just going to voicemail automatically. He's not even looking at the numbers coming up. But they understand what's at stake. They understand it's all or nothing. They actually, I should say it this way. They understand it's either Deshaun or a guy like Russell Wilson, who's probably not going to come available, or they have to turn their attention immediately to drafting a long-term quarterback and developing him. There's no in between. There is no bridge possibility out there. There is no hold the fort quarterback for them that's going to play well enough for them, I think, to maintain their employment status in Chicago. It's either we're going to win next year with somebody because we sold the farm, or rather we gave up a lot in order to get him, or ownership, we're looking to build this thing 2-3 years out with this quarterback that I, and when I say I mean this, I, Matt Nagy, have put my stamp on as a young quarterback here. Because remember, Matt wasn't there when Mitch Trubisky was drafted. Matt was in Kansas City. He also is someone who, without a doubt, had Patrick Mahomes as the number one quarterback in that draft, and then Deshaun Watson. And I'm not trying to drive a wedge between him and Ryan Pace, but those are just the facts. So if Matt Nagy really wants to go ahead and take control of his own destiny, he has to right now step to the forefront and say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. Either get Deshaun or we're drafting a guy who I want. Because if he doesn't do one of those two things, he's probably going to be looking for work somewhere else in 2022. And I hate to say that, but that's just the facts.
Well, Lou, that's where this gets tricky, though, because they can want to do that. But to quote the movie that Dan talked about, Nick Caserio's got alligator blood right now. He's sitting here not answering the phone. And that's where Houston also needs to be very careful. Because I was talking to a team executive who was telling me basically that, look, the best strategy for team building is to take advantage of other people's vulnerabilities. There is no more vulnerable team in the NFL looking for a quarterback than the Chicago Bears. Houston better be careful here. They've got their guy. They've got their victim when it comes to finally salvaging this Deshaun Watson situation. If the Bears decide to go a different direction, Houston's going to be saying at the end of the day, why did we not do that? Because it's going to be tough to find a team that's willing to give up as much as the Bears will right now.
Yeah, you know, Lewis, it's hard
timing
not to.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard not to almost laugh about how this could end up working out. You know, if the Bears are finally able to get the guy that they should have drafted originally, or at least one of the guys they should have drafted originally. When you think about Houston, though, Lewis, and you've been in front offices, you know how this works. Are they really going to stay this strong in not answering the phone and sending everybody to voicemail? Why are they not listening to any other sort of reason saying, hey, you've got to at least listen to some offers here.
Yeah, I think sometimes front offices and football teams get caught up in precedent, meaning we don't want to send the message that anytime a quarterback comes in and says, you know, I just don't want to play here anymore, that we're just going to go ahead and acquiesce to you and say, okay, that's fine, we'll trade you where you want to go. But I think in this case, look, Houston has to understand where they're at in their program build. They have to understand that you probably don't want to cut off your nose despite your face here and just kind of play the who's going to blink first game, because they could get an absolute king's ransom and start their program build right now without Deshaun, because they have no one else to blame. They have no one else to blame but themselves if they're even in this situation. So own up to it and do something about it to fix it, because it doesn't sound like Deshaun's going to budge.
Yeah, two things. It's March 1st. Deshaun Watson is not backtracking. He did not get all the way to March 1st and say publicly he wants out and then meet with the coach and say he's not playing for him just for 4 months now to backtrack. Nick Caserio was brought to Houston to rebuild the football team, not fix the relationship to Deshaun Watson. The best way to rebuild the football team is to trade Deshaun Watson.
All right, Houston, the Bears are on the phone. You better pick it up. Time for one more thing before we go. And this, you guys, I got to say, gives me the willies a little bit. This is Russell Wilson and his wife, Sierra, swimming with sharks. Has anybody on this show done this before? How do we feel about it? Dan's a big roller coaster guy, so I don't know how he feels about this time. We got nose across the board.
Nah, man.
No one's doing this.
I've done it, but I'm not going to say it because I'm just going to give Dan more ammunition for me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You haven't done it, Darlington.
Wow, Jeff. What a flex by Jeff there.
That's how people die.
Here's the thing.
I just don't post to Instagram like Russ or you.
I want to see video.
Oh, my goodness.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.